Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Take him. Terry. Get a handle. Come on, let's go. Come on. Talk to me.
Tommy, that's
Then you talk to me about it.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
Okay,
Tom.
Listen to me. Let me hear what I'm saying. Okay? You get your shot. You had your shot right there in the situation.
Well, why
don't you know the situation, Terry?
Why don't you get a shot, Tommy?
Because that makes it worse, Terry. That makes it worse.
I know it. An MLB did nothing to that guy. Nothing.
Okay, I control that, Terry. I can't control that. You know as well as I. Terry, you know where I stand on the whole situation.
Damn it,
but that's
you're better than that, Tommy. You know,
that was Fitzy screaming at Fourier on yesterday's show.
He wouldn't buy me around that cheap prick.
Actually, it was Terry Collins, the guy that you had mentioned earlier, Mets manager who just blew it up. But we missed those. You don't get those anymore because you can't do that
Where's
anymore.
Where's Wally Backman going in the dugout and throwing Tony Betts out onto the field? Yeah. Come on.
Can't do that.
More passion.
More passion.
That's what we need.
I don't know how you find it. I don't know how you cultivate it. Just let it go. Fights.
Glenn, how did we get here, though? Because cut to 15 years ago. No,
I drove.
Real quick.
How we get here?
I walked.
You sobered up we started the show.
I thought you had sobered up, but if you don't remember how you got here, we got a problem.
The sad Hulk music played. I walked in with a bindle over my shoulder. So, but how did we get here? Like, because 15 years ago, you didn't miss a single Sox game, let alone the theater of Sox Yankees from 03 to 04.
Right up to 07?
07, and then, of course, the Boston Strong year. That was must-watch baseball, must-watch TV, must-watch theater. And now here we are. Yeah, this is my entrance music. Thank you. We just don't care.
How did we get here, Nick?
How did we get
here? Well, I tell you part of it, and people don't like to hear this. You won.
Oh, we got soft.
The pursuit was the drug, right? The pursuit was the passion.
Okay.
And the failure infused more passion.
Okay.
Now you experienced it, right?
Now, number one rule of improv is yes
when
and.
When you're chasing a woman,
uh-huh.
It's very exciting, correct?
Yes.
Then you marry
and.
Her.
Yeah.
And honey, it's still very exciting, right?
And then turns into Costco and wearing PJs at 5 o'clock.
There are books everywhere about how to keep the passion alive in your marriage.
Tom Brady has won six times.
The guy that knows his wife doesn't listen to sports.
Exactly. Zero chance. But Tom Brady has won six Super Bowls, and all we do is argue about, but it should be 7 or 8
football.
Or 9.
It's a sport.
Like,
part of it is what you guys are talking about. So baseball's issues are deep. There are a lot of them, okay? But the biggest one when you're trying to compare it to football is we've fallen in love with the game of football, okay? We have. To the point now where they've got all these safety issues and the league is trying to figure a way around it because I think the league knows, the NFL knows, we can't be touch football.
Right.
You know, we can't be flag football. People have fallen in love with the brutality of the game. Now, on the other hand, we're compassionate and we know, oh my God, we don't want him to get hit in the head.
I think it's make believe. Everybody pretends they don't want to see the guy get hit in the head and they pretend they love that at its core, it's a violent, barbaric game. That's why you watch.
It used to be featured on Monday night on ESPN.
Yes.
Pre-game
people
show.
Love that. Now we just pretend we don't,
right?
Even though we really still do.
We're woke.
He got
jacked up.
I'm not a violent person.
Yeah. They played it to music. Think about that. They took violence.
Right.
They added music, and they timed it perfectly for the hit.
Hey,
and we fell
in
love with
it. Here's the moment where this guy's short-term memory was erased for 27 minutes.
But I think you said it earlier, and baseball can't sit there and say, well, how do we catch up with football? You're not catching up with football. It's gone.
Nope.
It's the horse out of the barn. It's gone. It's done. how do you save yourself now where there are enough people where you can legitimately call yourself one of the major sports? And I think that's a big problem with this young generation. The older fans are still there. The average viewer last night was 59 years of age watching the All-Star game. Well, that person's going to be 69, 79, right. 89, and dead.
You're fighting an uphill battle because of your game. As much as you can love it, and there are people that love everything about it, you're fighting. There's no contact. There's none of that. You never have that threat of a big hit or the hope of a big. Like, there are limited energies within the game, right? I talked about it earlier. That's the biggest concern I would have as MLB, because some of the limited times where there are these explosive energies are home runs and strikeouts, and you're having more of those than ever, and that is not drawing new viewers.
Nope.
What do we do now?
We don't have Burn the Disco records in center field night anymore. They don't even give you the souvenir bats that you can throw at the umps when they make bad calls anymore.
Right.
It's too safe. It's sanitized.
And how many bobblehead nights?
Your sport sucks.
How many bobblehead nights can you have?
Right.
How many bobbleheads have been handed out at baseball games over the last 10 years? You know, it's, come on. There are only so many promotions you can deal with. The biggest problem baseball has, other than it's a generational game and the younger generation simply does not see enough excitement in the game, and it is the personalities, lack of personalities. You're watching that game last night. Do you think that most of the audience that was watching it, those are the people that actually tuned in, knew who all of these players were? 20 years ago, you knew every one of them. And you knew all about every one of them.
I don't think that's its biggest problem, though. I think the game is its biggest problem.
It may be.
I think you could say
pitchers are bitching.
There are no personalities in football. None.
Okay.
You don't know who they are. You don't. They're just numbers, X's and O's.
Right.
And you'd really like it when that big 99X knocked out that 11-0. Right.
I didn't know who Jadeveon Clowney was, but when he took the soul of that Michigan running back years ago, that was that was an unbelievable New Year's Day. How about that Trevor Lawrence kid who's the quarterback?
Yes.
Right. The kid from Friday Night Lights that plays for Clemson.
Right.
I don't think he has a particularly sparkling personality. He is hella fun to
good
watch.
Right, and
good
Mike
hair.
Trout,
great hair.
Yeah. Mike Trout's built like a linebacker.
Dream hair. He's a human Revlon commercial.
Yeah, no question.
If Mike Trout were blowing people up as a linebacker, which he could based on the way he looks, no one would care that he watched the weather during the week.
Right,
they would be like, "Whoa, that guy blew that."
Or
he's
that
fast, he's big.
Or that he eats like you and has like whey and whole milk for breakfast.
No one would care.
Right,
because the inherent issue here is some games have action and excitement and appeal to the modern sports fan. And then there's baseball.
Think of that, though. The best they could come up with a year ago with Mike Trout is they're trying to expand his personality to the audience is that he's a part-time amateur meteorologist.
Right.
Could you imagine, like, CBS doing that in a Sunday afternoon game and featuring Tom Brady at halftime, you know, giving you the weather, breaking down what's happening in the Rocky Mountains? Then a week later, Julian Edelman does the exact same thing,
right? Because that's exactly how it goes. If Brady does it, Edelman does it a week later.
The producer of the All-Star game, whoever
I know the clouds.
Somebody said, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to get Trout and we're going to find out something about him personally. It'll really bring him in. And when that producer went to him and said, well, what do you got? What do you want to talk about? What do you like to do? Well, I like the weather. What do you think that producer was like? Oh, my God, my career's over.
Right.
Like, I have nothing to work with here.
Yeah.
There is no clay here to be molded.
Like, and where
Sun's
is
out,
the
buttons out.
And they should have made something up. I have a foot fetish.
And where's the
I
shot?
Like feet.
You know, like you get all this great player access in the NBA. You get, you know, what is
he's
it? Area 21, Kevin Garnett's show,
yes,
and you get like you get the amazing color you get from Charles Barkley and Shaq and Ernie and those guys. And then you get like LeBron's show on HBO where you literally see like Antonio Brown and Draymond Green dragging people under the bus and bitching while drinking $500 glasses of Cabernet. Like, that's way more interesting to me. Give me some insight. It's now. It's a different time.
And baseball gives
back
you
and watch.
All
baseball
these
gives
nitwit
you,
fools, idiots.
Baseball gives you none of that
from a
media basis.
Who's the best personality in the Red Sox organization? Top to bottom. Personality, Red Sox organization.
Total personality, maybe Alex Cora.
Where's everybody at?
I would say
I don't eat like Tom Brady.
Dennis Eckersley, yes.
And he last played for the team when?
Steak and potatoes.
40 years ago?
He is.
He's the best personality.
And then people
they have.
Get mad when he says, like, get that junk out of here or
that's
calls
baseball.
A player out.
Jeez. That's when baseball had personality.
For a called strike.
They don't allow you to have personality.
Glenn, I think it all goes back to last summer when pitcher Dave was allowed to undress Eck on the team plane in front of everyone that told us they have control, that told us they don't want the game to have the kind of edge and sass and panache, if you will, that it used to. And I think we all just sort of like emotionally checked out.
But what do they want?
Right now, it's very, very wild.
What does pitcher Dave still want? What did he keep? What did he have the option to opt out? Mm-hmm. He still wants to collect his $210 million, right? By doing what? What does he bring personality-wise to the table?
A lot of snarky Twitter.
In baseball, they show you numbers. They don't sit there and say, I'm not bringing that many people to the ballpark. I'm just bringing numbers. David Ortiz brought people to the ballpark.
Yes.
Okay? He was a personality. He was bigger than life. You don't have those guys right now. You don't have a replacement for David Ortiz. That's what you need. You need it all over baseball because it is sorely missing.
And the closest thing you have is Chris Sale, and right now he's in sulky mode and wondering why he sucks.
Back to the phones we go. David's in Weymouth. What do you got, Dave?
You know, guys, everyone's been talking for years about how do we fix baseball? Do we make the game less time? Well, it's actually not much longer than a football game.
Yep.
But what is the problem with baseball? Generational issue of fantasy. Major League Baseball's got to find a way to make Thursday night, Sunday night baseball, the weekend, whatever it is, they've got to find a way to connect with the younger generation and turn it into a fantasy game. If they can do that, gambling helps too, but if they can turn it into a fantasy game, you'll begin to draw the kids in. How you mold that, I don't know. But they got to get together with DraftKings and these other groups and turn it into a fantasy game, and I think you'll see an uptick in the younger generation.
I think they've tried, and I think the issue is that the younger generation doesn't know anything about these players, so they stay clear of it.
Right.
And they know all of the football players, so they engage in it.
And it's too hard. 162 games. I mean, fantasy sports were invented around baseball, rotisserie baseball and all that. And then people realized, it's a full-time job. if I'm doing this all the time, every night, my team plays every night, it's hard to do. It's another aspect where football wins. Because you have to pay attention on Sunday. You have to make some changes early on the waiver wire. But you don't have to do it every single – you don't have to be just living your life around it.
Let me go to Scott in Framingham. Scotty.
Hey, guys. I'm a – late 40s guy, and I don't mind the three-hour games. It really does not bother me. That's all I do is watch sports anyway. But my idea is shorten the season to 144, add another wild card round because they share revenue. So when those 18 games come off towards the end of the season, when most fans are turned into football anyway and the ratings are down, I think 144 would do it.
I think it would help. If you shorten the season, I'm a fan of that. If you shorten the game, I'd be a fan of that. But I don't know if that fixes everything.
By taking away one-ninth of the season?
Right. 162 are boring, 144 are not. No, I think those 144 are still boring.
That's why if you cut 15 or 20 minutes, which is the best-case scenario in cutting the game, if you get a pitch clock and all this other stuff, I don't think that's going to make a difference. I don't think that's the issue. I think the game to young people is drawn out, boring. That's the biggest issue they have. So in the lack of competition in the league, because so many teams are tanking there, I think is another issue. There are probably 12, 15 issues baseball has. So maybe you split the game into two seasons. And you play the first season up until the beginning of July, and then the second half of the season, right after the All-Star break, you do it that way. And so you reward the team that wins the first half, they're automatically into the postseason. Now it opens up the door for all these other teams in the second half. You shorten it. The NBA is actually thinking of shortening their season and doing some type of mid-season thing because they even feel right now.
A mid-season tournament?
Yes, they feel right now that it's tedious, that they feel it through the season, that once you get into early March, people are sitting there going, oh my God, just get me to the freaking playoffs.
Yep. That strike-shortened season a couple years ago when they only played 50 or 52 games was great. Every game counted. And this would eliminate my least favorite phrase in baseball, which is don't worry about it. Though they lost, it's only May. Those games, people just say, don't worry about it, they lost. Oh, they blew a game in April. It's only April. It's early, guy. It's early. Real baseball doesn't start until Memorial Day. Ooh, I have an idea. Don't start it till Memorial Day, then.
That's a good idea.
Why? Yeah. Well, if people are going to tell you the games in April and May mean nothing, then literally take them away. Either that, or as the season goes on, let's borrow something from a successful league overseas. Relegation.
The relegation.
Get out. You know what? Right. Hey, Diamondbacks, if you guys are going to trade everyone away and go in the tank, goodbye. Well, next year, you're not even in the majors.
Well, look at it this way.
You're eliminated by July.
The one thing we've discovered in the last two decades is the first quarter of the season means absolutely nothing for the New England Patriots.
Correct.
Right?
It's an extension of the preseason.
Right, and every year we fall
for
this.
It's hot at Gillette.
We make the same mistake. Every year we say, they're 2-2, they're screwed.
And I promise you will be.
Yes.
When they're 2-2, you'll be doing 4 hours every day talking about it.
Can't wait. The
sky is falling.
Can't wait.
All right, we'll talk more about this. Plus, I want to figure out, Brad Stevens actually talked last night in Vegas, in between the escapades of Taco Fall. And he actually said that everything is rosy, everything was wonderful, everything was terrific. Did I miss something? We'll get to all of that and more right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now back to OMF, where the ladies love us.
Maloney and Fourier, I love to listen to them.
They're wonderful.
But when Glenn comes on, I want to shut the radio off.
Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad on Sports Radio WEEI.
You know, the fans love Taco Fall. I love watching them play. What do the Celtics feel about Taco Fall?
I have to admit, I'm a big fan. I called about every 30 minutes as soon as he went undrafted on draft night until about 2 in the morning until he agreed to come join us and be a part of us, because we are very interested in his future. And he's got, you know, a very unique skill set. You know, I think our coaching staff's trying to figure out how to use him because he's so unique. You know, I think he can be a weapon.
He has more defensive range than I thought he would have. And he's more agile than you think he is.
Yeah, and he's 300 pounds on top of being tall. You know, most guys, and he looks thin because of his extreme height. But he's got good hands. He's got good mobility. He's such an amazing person, Seth. I don't know if you had a chance to talk to him at all, but great student, great person. He's the smartest 7'7 guy I've ever met.
All right, that's not some sycophant. That is Austin Ainge. It's like assistant general manager. Of your
Director
Boston
of player
Celtics.
Personnel.
Yeah, so he's talking about him like he's a legitimate NBA player. I hate to say it. I'm watching Twitter last night. People are watching the game last night. It was the another one of those summer league games, which you learn absolutely nothing about these players. You know what it's like? I think you brought it up yesterday. It's game four of the preseason in the NFL.
Yes.
Matter of fact, the game four of the NFL preseason is there are more legitimate players on the floor than you get in a summer league game of guys that are actually going to be playing in the NBA.
Remember when these were like agate, .. end of the notebook, Celtics summer league action.
They must see TV.
Yeah.
Okay. They're sold out.
Yeah.
But so what are we talking, guys? We're talking about the summer NBA Summer League, and we have more interest in a 7'7" developmental center named Taco than we do the MLB All-Star Game and the American League East race.
There were more people.
Need we say anything else about the Sorry's database?
Yeah, more people locally were tweeting last night
about Taco.
We're talking about Summer
Taco!
League basketball,
and not just Gilroy. I mean, other people. You know,
well, I mean,
mainstream sports. People.
Unlike baseball, he has a few things going for him. He's a freakishly tall dude, so just stands out. Obviously, visually, his name is Taco.
Yeah,
that
helps. That helps.
Taco Fall.
It's a marketing
Taco. I've been doing too many shifts with Mark James because every time someone says Taco Fall, I immediately think pick it up and eat it. And I blame Mark James for that on Saturdays.
I blame Mark James. Mark James for everything that's happening wrong in the world right now. Right. Okay, everything. The pay disparity of the women's soccer team.
Yep. Who's
Mark James?
Mark James.
It is always Mark James.
How do you think I feel? I do Saturdays with him. I've done a couple shifts this week in the mornings with him.
Good luck.
I'm sensitive.
I'm working with him on Friday along with Wiggy.
I bet
bringing
you either
two interpreters.
You either call in sick or retire.
Yeah.
More like burrito fall because we're going to wrap it up. He's done.
So I like it. I like it, Mark James.
I'm learning his game.
I know some pro athletes. Yesterday. He is a freak because he's so tall, 7'6", 7'7". And we do the same thing with the little guys.
Yep.
You know, the guys that are playing a big man sport that are undersized. We love those guys because they're doing something they shouldn't
little.
Be able to do. All right? And that's what it's all about. But I'm watching him last night, and people are tweeting, and they're tweeting, like, positive things about him. And I'm sitting there going, are you actually watching the same game I'm watching? And thank God, our buddy Brian Scalabrini, who called in yesterday and actually was debating with me, actually saying he thinks he can play in the NBA, though he has to go to Maine for an entire year. He thinks he has a future down the road. The last thing he said on the broadcast last night was, Taco Fall was not good here tonight.
But people see what they want to see.
They do.
They want to embrace this guy. They want to think he's going to be on the team. He's going to be this phenomenon. And that's good. That
fan
passion
favorite
is good.
Fan, you got every now and again, how much, Glenn, if you're a GM, or Andy, if you're running the Celtics, how much stock would you put into, like, all right, so maybe, all right, he plays better defense than Cantor, but, you know, Tice gives us the best chance to win.
He does not play better defense than Cantor, and Cantor's the worst defensive center in the NBA.
I just gave that
Why
to you.
Why are you going
to
be negative?
I just gave that to you.
He's making a point. Let him work
toward
it.
The point is, how much stock would you put into
Cantor?
Like, well, the kids like him, and I know he's going to put asses in the seats for a while.
Not much.
Sorry. It goes back to what you said, hour one, Glenn. It's hour one. It's entertainment.
It's simple.
What is not entertaining about having a guy who can block the sun?
You know what's more entertaining than having a freak?
Winning.
Yeah.
See, here's the problem with him, Nick. And
are you not entertained?
And the Celtics aren't going to put him on this roster because he's never going to play. The only time you could put him into play is an inbounding pass. And how many of those do you have in key situations of the game? One a game? And maybe, as I said yesterday, instead of having Geno time now, when you're blowing out a team, you put him in for the last 3 or 4 minutes.
Taco time.
And it's taco time.
That's
and
not
you celebrate.
Bad.
Right.
That's good.
So he becomes a marketing
vehicle.
Be good
vehicle. For the city of Boston,
yeah,
too.
It would be, too.
Because usually around here, our little gimmicky players are the short white guy.
Short white guy.
And it hurts our reputation as a city.
It's a good point.
Oh, well, screw you nationally. We got a 7'6 black guy. He's our gimmick now. Yeah.
Listen, you guys, you heard it here first. They're gonna have Taco Fall at point guard, and Belichick's going to have a two-punter formation. There.
But if you think he has...
I don't rule it out.
I'm not rolling it out. He's going to do it.
But if you think he has a future to actually play in the NBA like Austin Ainge is claiming here and others have claimed.
Wait, when?
Then you send him to Maine next year for the entire season.
Yes.
And you let him go up there and play. The problem that you have is he could have played in the league 30 years ago. 30 years ago, it was a post-up game. So all you do is you just post up, you back your guy all the way down, you get into position where they give you the ball, nobody else can get the ball because you put it above the rim. He catches it, and all he does is he just deposits it. He doesn't have to leave his feet.
Right.
The problem now with the game is it's all a pick-and-roll game, and you got to defend the pick-and-roll. So what happens, and you saw Denver do it to him last night 3 times in a row. The difference was they didn't make the outside shot, but they're going to force him to switch on the shooting guard. The guard's going to be out in 3-point territory, and what's he going to do? He doesn't know where to go. He might be 7'7", but if he comes out in the perimeter, that guard's going right around him.
Well, if he closes out on that three, though, that's a block. That's
a vertical route. But he doesn't do it.
He could be 18 feet out on a 25-footer,
exactly.
And still be able to block it.
The biggest, length, that's where
see,
it's
the,
at.
The biggest problem I have is that Enes Kanter doesn't go out and guard that guard either. That's going to be your bigger problem. But he can't do what you need to do in the
Enes
NBA
Kanter.
Now.
Did Enes Kanter like slide
it's
into
anus,
your wife's
actually.
DMs or something? You got a hair across your
he's
ass
the worst. No, look up the numbers. Look up anything. He's the worst defensive center in the league.
Right.
I'm not – that's not hyperbole. That is – he is the worst defensive center. Now, offensively around the rim, he's very good.
He can score the ball.
He can rebound, and a lot of his rebounds come at the defensive end where he doesn't go out and defend, so he just stands at the rim and says, I know the ball's coming off there, and I'm going to get it.
Now, didn't we say that the talent on this team right now is the young guys, and they're all wing players, and they just drafted 3-4 more wing players? Why not just go for wings and Taco? Really? I mean, really, you just have a giant 7'6" guy and a bunch of
do me a favor.
He was better when he was drunk.
It was an experiment.
Get
don't use it at the club tonight. Okay, skip it. Skip it in the
Why
video.
Why not?
Skip it in the video. It didn't work.
To make it fun. You know what? You're a baseball mind, Glenn Ordway. I finally understand.
No, you're a football guy. So, I mean, a basketball guy. So I want to ask you a question. Something that I've seen pique my interest over the last week, because I've always liked this guy as a little bit of a freak in a different uniform, Miles Turner.
Yes.
I've seen a little rumblings that maybe there could be a future trade between the Celtics and Indiana for Miles Turner.
Well, they got two bigs. They got Sabonis. And right. so they got to figure out what they're going to do.
And they want a wing and whatever. Yeah. What do you think?
A wing and a...
No. I don't care about that. Let's move on from that. It was bad. Let's bang on that or drop that.
They can't all be gems.
I tell you what, you are better drunk than you are sober.
Three out of ten.
That's still, we got time.
Three out of ten still gets you a $20 million deal in baseball.
What do you think
of
Miles Turner in this?
I think they're eventually going to have to do something. They can't go with the center and a power forward, the four and five position. They're going to be awful defensively.
Would you trade Jaylen Brown for Miles Turner?
Yes. Yeah, because I think you need a big. I think you need a big right. And I'm not sure Jaylen Brown's going to be here long term because I think he might leave. You've got 1 year of him. He becomes a restricted free agent. And as we saw this year, restricted free agency in many cases means that other teams come at you and then you end up with a sign and trade.
Right.
Right? So you end up working something out. It won't happen at the beginning of the season, but I think they're going to really get exposed on the defensive end up front. They are going to be bad. Bad. Now,
here's
offensively,
more ripping a canter from Glenn.
Offensively,
slept with his wife.
They're going to be good. They're going to be able to score. They're going to be good.
You said Monday, they're going to have to win a lot of games. 125, 119.
Exactly.
Not a terrible thing for the entertainment dollar, right?
Nope. No. So Brad Stevens apparently talked last night in Vegas in between the heroics of a Taco Fall.
Taco.
He had a line last night. I don't know if you saw the video, but they were tweeting it out last night. There was a line for the autographs for Taco Fall.
They had
to suspend it because the line was so freaking long. He would have been there signing autographs.
And he was
signing Kyrie jerseys
and stuff.
Stuff like that, yeah. So Brad Stevens talks about this last night. And, of course, everybody's asking him, you know, what happened. And they ask him about Kyrie and about, you know, the dysfunction with the team. And he comes out and says, no, I enjoyed Kyrie. I don't fault him one bit for choosing to follow what he wants to do. So he's no problem at all with Kyrie and said there was no real issue. They're all good guys. It just didn't gel. It just didn't work. The mix didn't work. Then he did the same thing about Al Horford. And he said he doesn't have a problem with Al Horford. And I'm wondering if even the staunch Celtic fans aren't a little pissed with that comment. How do you not have a problem with Al Horford? The money can't be that much difference. Boston apparently went from 3 years. Jackie McMullen said they came back and Boston was willing to equal the 4 years of that mystery team when the mystery team turned out to be the Philadelphia 76ers. Sixers gave 97 guaranteed, and Boston is probably somewhere in the 80 million category, 85, something like that. He left you for a reason. He got up and left because he felt you no longer, and he knew that Kyrie was already gone. So it's not like, oh, he didn't want to play with Kyrie. No, he knew Kyrie was gone.
Better opportunity to win, right?
Yes.
That's what he took.
So he looked at it and said, I would rather go elsewhere. And nobody is pissed about that.
But is
nobody gets angry at Horford. No, but I think for all of his demeanor and the way he played this thing, and maybe he's really good at this, and he gives you an outer shell, and then internally he's sitting there going, I'm not playing with these young kids anymore. Kids got no shot at winning. All they want to be superstars themselves, and forget this. I'm out.
That is all reality-based, so I live in that world.
So I'm gonna go to some place where I think I can win and win a ring right now. And then he puts out, you see this, an Instagram thing where he puts this whole thing out today where he's thanking all
can
the
Can I read
fans.
This obnoxious
yeah, go
piece?
Yeah, go ahead.
You welcomed me with open arms 3 years ago. We had a goal to raise another banner in the rafters.
Yeah.
We fell short of that goal.
No kidding.
I appreciate everyone in Boston. Ownership, front office, coaches, and teammates. Most important, thank you to all the fans. Thank you, Boston.
As he dove off into a raft reserved for women and children. Please, give me a break.
Caught the Acela Express from Boston to Philadelphia.
Give me a break.
He cut and run on you, Celtics
fans.
He said he came here to win a championship.
But nobody's pissed.
And I am. I told you Monday. I'll say it again. I think Horford is the one who stabbed. At least Kyrie was pretty much playing out in the open about his intentions, even though he gave us the whole little dog and oh, we knew he was going for months.
Well, we didn't. I took him at his word.
We were all pretty
sure. He was coming back.
He lied.
If we'd have him.
He lied.
You know the funny thing is?
You believed an athlete?
Back then, I would have had him. I changed my mind, too. Mm-hmm. I won't have you, Kyrie.
That's right.
You can't leave me because I don't want you.
Yeah, you'd be saying the same thing about Kimba in about 10 months.
No, I won't.
And Horford makes it seem like he cares. He's the dad of the team. He's the good guy of Boston.
He's lying to you.
Absolutely.
He's a good player.
He's an opportunist, just like everyone else.
And to me, you take him and Kyrie away, and I feel bad in some respects for Kemba because try to run the pick and roll with the bigs that you're going to have on this team. Okay? You don't anymore have Al. You don't have Baines. You don't have Marcus Morris. Good luck trying to do it by yourself.
Kemba's in for a rude awakening.
Absolutely.
Right now, he's the other guy, so he's popular.
Yep.
We hate Kyrie. He screwed us. Well, you know what? We got something that's close enough, and we're going to win with chemistry and all this. And then when you start the year 2-6, they're going to be saying, well, this Kemba guy, he's nowhere near as good as Kyrie.
And it won't be his fault. And it won't be his fault.
But it's going to be Stevens'
fault. Bring back the other Walker.
So what is Brad Stevens, what is he doing here? And then he just wants to take the high road. We're going to take the high road about everything. Everything's wonderful. No, stuff was not wonderful last year. You had a team that was favored to go to the NBA Finals. It broke down during the course of the season. Why wouldn't you address some of the stuff? Instead, Danny comes out and says, oh, we're going to get good guys. We're going to do good guys. We're going to be all wonderful, you know, good ship lollipop. In the meantime, everybody's taking the high road. I would have felt much better if Brad Stevens came out and said, instead of saying he doesn't have a problem with Al Horford leaving, you know what? We wanted Al, which he did say. We wanted Al.
Right.
So Al left them. They didn't say goodbye to Al. I would have felt better if he said, I wish Al would have stayed with us. Right. We had an opportunity to put something together, and Al made that decision on his own. I love Al. He's a terrific player. He decided to go with a team in our own division, our own conference, because he felt he had a better shot to win a championship.
He had a couple options. He took the super high road, which I don't care for. He could have taken the super low road, which you know he's
never going
to take.
You don't
want
to do that. I'm not asking him to do that.
So then go the Belichickian road and say nothing. We've moved on.
Very good.
They've moved on. We've moved on. We're done, right?
I'm only going to talk about the players in the room.
Correct.
That's it.
Because I don't want you to tell me I don't have a problem with anyone. You have problems with people. We know that. Right?
He better have problems.
He does. No,
he should have had problems with Kyrie last year,
and he
right?
does. We know that.
Right.
So you're lying to me.
He didn't have problems with
right.
Kyrie.
So at least
you
go
have problems
at
with
least
Kyrie.
Go Belichickian and just not say anything, because don't feed me a load of bull and expect
me
to swallow.
Give me a little edge after Kyrie took it off of you and kind of
he has no edge.
I know he looks like an assistant manager at a Staples.
He has no edge.
He's got a good line.
We got to take a break.
He looks like an intern.
That was better than wings and tacos.
That was a much better line. Much better.
Let me leave.
If you were a professional comedian, that was terrible.
Hour two, Nick's doing a hell of a lot better.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's get you back to more of New England's family-friendly show.
I don't give a sh**.
He is completely cashed it in.
The Instagram, he's
give a sh**.
Back to more of Glenn, Lou, and Christian on Sports Radio WEEI.
Here with Taco Fall, and even the players got to go through security check. Taco, thanks for joining us. So I just told Mo Bamba he's got the coolest name in the league. Nothing beats Taco Fall, am I right?
I mean, Mo's my guy, so, you know, I don't know. You tell me.
I'm sure you've been asked this a million times. Your family's just into Taco? Like, how did that come about?
I was named after one of my dad's good friends, so that's how it came about.
Now that you're in the league, you got to get a taco endorsement deal, am I right, bro?
We'll see. We'll see. That would make for a heck of a promotion, boy. I guess, right?
And that was my idea, so you're going to cut me a little check.
Sure.
So, all right.
Who is this?
You're very tall. I'm obviously very short. Tell me about all the things that you can reach that I can't.
Anything over the counter, I would guess.
Dude, have you seen the top shelf of a kitchen cabinet?
I can easily reach that.
You can?
Yeah.
What does it look like up there?
It's dusty.
It's see, I dusty. Like this. See, here's what I like about this. They're asking good basketball questions, right? Breaking down his game.
Yep.
Can you defend the pick and roll on an NBA team? And obviously, given the what's this dude's name?
Sam Alapour. Yes,
he literally wants money because he said, "I gave you the idea that you should have a taco endorsement."
So when you get the Qdoba deal or the Moe's Southwestern Grill,
Taco Tuesday,
natural cross promo, bro.
What were you telling me that last night? The stuff
there
that
were people.
Killing?
Yeah, I was just looking on at NBC's the NBC Sports Boston Celtics feed. Everything Taco Fall on their feed has like 4 to 5 times the traction and metrics. Like everything Taco Fall gets instant retweets and comments out the yin yang.
With a little emoji?
Yep, with lots of the taco emoji and everything. And there were people in the stands last night holding up Taco Tuesday signs dressed like tacos.
Yes. They had taco hats and stuff like that.
It's a thing.
That's good for
Doritos, Locos, Tacos.
Maine Red Claws will be all set up for promotional nights.
It's so stupid. And it's going to put a lot of pressure, I think, on Cantor. I don't know nothing about this kid from France, Poirier, the other kid that they're bringing in.
The one who sits in here with you and Marloni?
No, this is different. That's Poirier.
Sorry about that.
That wasn't bad.
That was better than...
Okay.
Better than
are we going to compare them all now the rest of the day?
Yeah, well, we do
you
that.
Set the floor. We now let's find out where the ceiling is.
But all I can say is I'm just hoping that Robert Williams can take his game up to the next level here in the next year or two, because they are going to be desperate.
You have a negative tone to everything
Star-Lord.
You say.
No, I don't.
You do.
That's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Negative.
It's almost like he's on
the
radio in Boston.
Like they have no bigs. They're going to have to do something. Worst defender in the NBA.
He's disappointed. You know who Glenn is right now? Andy, Glenn right now is the dad who caught you drinking when you said you weren't. And it was like, all you had to do was tell me you were going to go out with your friends and have a beer. No, we're giving you a hard time. But you came home.
You lied.
And you lied to me.
Made it worse.
He feels like he's been duped by this. He's disappointed. He's a disappointed dad.
So you think I'm an idiot to think they could go to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yes.
You didn't need to qualify.
Yeah,
that.
I was going to say.
I was going to say, you could have stopped
before that. But that adds to it.
So, you know,
they have no shot.
No shot?
Zero.
Really?
Right.
Why?
They're just not good enough. They can't
Milwaukee
stop anybody.
And
so you get
Philadelphia.
Into
you
get into a playoff series. I think Indiana will be better. And we'll see. Miami might end up being better if Westbrook goes there. You know, are they going to be terrible? No. And that's the biggest problem I have with them.
I'm being told in my ear they have the third best title odds in the Eastern Conference.
What does that mean?
Doesn't mean they're in the Eastern Conference.
They were contenders, is what it's
and if they were in the Western Conference, they wouldn't even be in the playoffs.
Well, they're not, though.
Okay, that's correct.
Paul
Perillo
once taught me they have going to him. That if his aunt had testicles, she'd be his uncle.
I was going to say, if my aunt had a meat stick, she'd be my uncle.
Correct.
Paulie Paul's into biology.
Is that okay?
He knows that stuff.
If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Exactly.
There you go.
All you Everett Easty guys are all the same.
Paul Perillo, Wiggy, same thing.
Exactly.
Very similar. No, I'm not being negative about them. I thought a year ago,
so Vegas
as we
wrong.
All did.
You've neutered Muck.
No, right now they're the third. They would be the third best team, but I would look at Indiana on the same level as they are. And
you can't have 2 threes, Mike Mayock.
You can't have a tie for everything.
What is number three?
What is the goal here?
Number two is my goal, to get them to the Eastern Conference Finals, so I can tell you to stuff it, NBA guys.
But aren't we already ticketed for... Isn't this just, aren't we all just waiting for Bucks Sixers and the rest of it is just entertainment along the way or whistling past the basketball grave?
I've never trusted the Sixers. There's just something about them where I feel like they
underachieved.
They
were this close.
They were
a crazy
ball bounce.
They were a ball bounce away from getting it on.
No question.
They were, but I'm with Andy on this one, that Embiid should be a much better player than he is. And I think he's so talented, but I think he's a little bit sometimes out of condition.
Marcus Smart should have sucker-punched Joel Embiid.
I think there are nights in which he sits there and he says, I'm just going to take threes, and I just want to work on my game. There's something about him where I just think he should be so much better. He should be, talent-wise, he should be one of the top 5 players in the league, and I do not put him in that group.
Correct. He's Anthony Davis, right? Like, you should feel
he
about
should
him.
He should be, yes.
Anthony Davis went to a team, and that team is now immediately considered a contender.
Right.
If you have Joel Embiid, you should immediately be considered one of the truly elite teams in the NBA. And you also have a guy who can get him the ball in Ben Simmons. You have talent there. To me, they're a team that just doesn't live up to their talent.
Right, do me a favor.
Soft.
If you think the Celtics are going to be really good next year, because I think Kemba will be fine.
Yep.
Will he be a Kyrie? No. But he might be a better influence in the locker room. I'm buying all that stuff. How good is Tatum going to be? Because he took a step back last year.
He's going to take 2 steps forward.
He has to take about 4.
Gordon Hayward is going to be Gordon Hayward.
From Utah. Utah
Day. We are going to follow the
So he needed a full year
Paul George timeline. We are going down that timeline where he is going to be back, and I think he's going to feel better. I think the team is going to fit better.
And I would say this, to be the number three seed, because you're putting them in and thinking they can go to the, win the Eastern Conference, to be the number three seed, the two things that you just mentioned have to happen.
Yes.
Have to happen.
But I don't think they're lottery shots, right?
Both of those 25 from Kemba and from Hayward, and 17 from Tatum and 15 from Brown will keep you in most games.
Not according to Glenn, because they're going to give up like $1.26 a night.
And keep me, not when Taco swats his seventh ball of the night.
For the main red club.
Keeping
on WJAB the Jab.
And more importantly, it's also going to keep them in games, and it's going to keep us tuned in.
Yes, I do think they're going to be an entertaining, fun team to watch.
Yes.
And some of that may be bad.
Or if they get a couple of injuries because they're going to have a weak bench, I heard for the last 2 years how great the bench is, then the Red Claws may be a bigger attraction.
Do you stand in front of your beautiful house and say, like, instead of saying, like, wow, this is gorgeous, like, well, we're one storm away
I'm speaking the truth to you.
I know. But let's just imagine.
So I do this with all the teams. What is wrong with this of speaking the truth?
A little positivity.
I thought last year, these guys will tell you, a year ago, I thought the Celtics were going to have the best record in the NBA. The best record
in the
NBA.
So you were right.
Absolutely. I bought into it.
You're wrong again. Right. 2 years in
a row.
Totally
wrong. Yes.
You know what else is going to be better?
What's that?
The coach. Because I think the coach is more in his
sweet spot. I don't
think
he could be any worse.
Right?
Have you seen the top shelf of a kitchen?
The coach...
That's his dumb.
The answer from Glenn.
That's his dumbest.
On a ladder.
The coach.
When I say government, what do you say?
The coach has literally built a career on overachieving, correct? You're doubting, right? That's Brad Stevens' career is going further than we should, it's at Butler or whether it's with each incarnation of the Celtics. Go further than we should. Andy. We're better than we should be. This year, you're no longer the front runner. You're no longer the most talented team. You don't have the potential super team. You have a good team, good young players. They will be better.
Andy, they have gone from Al Horford, Aaron Baines, and Marcus Morris to three guys who cannot defend in the pick and roll.
Stuck up on this defend thing.
Because it's the game.
About scoring it's the basketball.
It's the NBA. You're going to have to score 125.
Okay.
They will score. I'm not worried about that. Jason Tatum's numbers will go
up.
Okay, they will go up. Gordon Hayward's numbers will go up. There's no question about it. But they're not going to be able to stop anybody. And when you get into a seven-game series and you're trying to stop the pick and roll, good luck.
Look at the Rams. Who won the Super Bowl? Oh, the team with the better defense. Strike that from the record.
There you go. See, it still comes down to
and scene.
Here's Peter in Jamaica playing. Hi, Pete.
Hey, I wanted to talk about Taco for
a second.
Peter's
very positive. He's very positive.
Good, so, Pete. We need
any
some positivity.
Anytime on this show, Pete.
Taco, baby.
I'm going to be negative about Taco. Okay?
Pete. Sorry, got to go, Pete.
Pete, you ruined your image.
I want him on my team, okay? He's the biggest phenomenon I've seen in the last 5 years. I mean, the crowd goes even if he goes to the, you know, when he's going to come in the game,
he's the biggest.
The crowd goes crazy.
He's the biggest freak you've seen win from on the Celtics or in the league.
Phenomenon.
They want Taco.
What about the Greek freak?
Taco more. Have you? Okay, just bear me out. Okay, he's not NBA ready. You've seen that. He's not NBA ready for a championship team. Okay, but if you got a stinky team that wants to put butts in the seats, okay. You're going to pay him a lot of money. And if he goes to Europe, he's going to be a superstar, and he's going to make a ton of money. He doesn't want to be Al Abdul-Jabbar. He wants to be Steve Jobs. If he goes to Europe, I think he makes $10 million a year. I might be wrong, but that's what I'm saying.
$10 million may be a stretch, but Peter, this is the most intelligent call I think you have ever made to this radio program. He's right. The smartest thing for Taco Fall, because he's not good enough to play in the NBA, and if he ever does play in the NBA and really improves, let's say, over the next year, 2-3 years, he's an 8-minute player, he's a 10-minute player, he goes over to Europe. The fact that he's so tall, he actually can engage in some of those games. He can play more minutes than he could play in the NBA, because let's face it, the players aren't nearly as good.
Right.
He can make a lot of money. He's right. So if I'm Taco Fall, unless I... You know, I'm such an NBA fan that I need to play in the NBA. Do I want to play in Portland, Maine in the winter? Or do for nothing, virtually, $50,000 bonus, Or do I want to go overseas and maybe get a deal, I don't know, about $10 million, but let's say for $5 or $6 million?
Why can't you do both?
We'll see.
What do you mean do both?
I mean, obviously he has a dream of playing in the NBA. It's the best basketball on the planet.
Yeah, go to Europe for 3 or 4 years and then come back to the States.
Or why can't you try Portland to go to Boston? If that doesn't work, in 2 years I'm in Europe.
Is he considered a broken commodity at that point?
No, he's still a freakish phenomenon.
No. Because of his
He'll always have the natural.
Can't teach.
So have Europe size, right? Europe should be the fallback, not plan A. Plan A should be go make
the
Red Claws
money.
Money
he wants. It depends on money, though. So a big part of it, I don't know what the kid's situation is, but if you have an opportunity and somebody's coming at you and say, go to Portland, Maine, we're going to give you a $50,000 bonus. You come over here and play in Turkey or whatever, or Greece, and we're going to pay you $5 million. What are you going to do?
I don't really want to live in Turkey.
Why not?
Seems like
great.
Not the kind of place
good
I want to live
in. Well, I mean, if not, if your last name's Cantor.
So your turkeys of the year, especially if your first name is Anus.
His first name is not Anus.
Oh, that's what I heard.
That's another Mark C. James, I guarantee.
I heard this on this station.
Look, the problem, do you risk losing
Anus Cantor?
Is there any chance, like, let's say, obviously, they don't keep the 15th spot open for Taco, and he goes
to Europe.
They're not going to. That's what Adam Himmelsbach said. I get that.
Yeah, they have two spots for two-way players, and they've already filled those.
Sure.
So with him, he's in what do they call an Exhibit 10 slot, and so he gets waived. He will get waived by them, and then they will give him a $50,000 bonus to play in the G League if he accepts that. Or he can go and say, no, thank you very much. I'm going over to Europe.
Another team
could come in and take him away from you.
That's the problem.
With the Exhibit 10, if you're going to send him to Maine. But the problem is they have to have him on their 15-man roster. If they don't, he goes back to you and goes back to me.
Okay.
I believe that's the way it works.
Sort of the way, like, when you get cut, but then you have to go through waivers, and someone can claim you if they put you on, like, taking them off the taxi squad, I think, in the NFL.
Yeah, you can be signed off the practice
squad and claimed off waivers.
But you're telling me he's not an NBA player.
Not right now.
Not on any team. Not just the Celtics.
Two years from now.
2 years from now, he could play 8 or 10 minutes as a specialty guy, I think, maybe.
Yeah, he wouldn't get $10 million to go to Europe, would
he? That seems like an awful lot to me. Yeah, I would say more.
If I'm his agent, I'd advise him to go to Europe. That's a lot of money.
A lot more. 617-779-7937. No Christian today. No Lou today. But we have Andy Hart, who now works here at WEEI.com, right down the hallway here. And Nick Stevens, who would like to work here. He told me to say that to management, and I got that in for you.
Thank you very much.
Got a nice little plug-in for you. Back to the phone calls next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.